My name is Maurice Boddy. I was born in Leeds in 1932. My father was a clerk on the Leeds City tramways, previously been a conductor from end of the First World War, 1919 through to 1932. So I've always been interested in tram cars and transport. And when I left school, I decided I want to go on the railway, where I started at the age of 15 years, 11 months and 28 days. First of all, you go to Leeds City Station, the office is there, take an entrance examination where you ask simple questions like, of which country is Berlin the capital of? Which for somebody in 1948, if you didn't know where Berlin was, is an idiot. But it was quite clearly a pre-war paper. Pass the exam and then go to for a medical. That was on the 13th of February 1948. I went to Manchester for a medical, which was in the London Road Station, which in those days was two halves. There was the LNER half and the LMS half, and now the twain shall meet. Here, for example, I remember seeing a black Duchess of Abercorn coming in. That was the first Duchess I'd seen.
And were you, when you were a lad then, you said you were interested, you were a train spotter when you were a lad, were you?
Yes, I started train spotting in August 1944 going with a friend to Huddersfield, which is on L&W line from Leeds to Manchester. And one of the engines we saw on the passenger train was Morecambe Heacham, 5526, an LMS Patriot. So that got me interested. They say some engines have got names, so then I started spotting. All engines are in one livery, which is filthy black. I do recall one red engine during the war, about 1945, which was the LMS Jubilee Sampson. Still in the pre-war livery, but normally they're black. So in 1944, again, September, I saw Silverlink. It's 2509 in Leeds, on the King's Cross Leeds train. In those days, you very rarely saw an A4 in Leeds. Engines changed on London trains at Peterborough, Grantham and Doncaster. The chance of getting an A4 in Leeds was a bit remote. Saw Dominion of Canada also later that year in Leeds.
And did you, so you spent a lot of time on the Leeds stations, did you?
Go on the Leeds station, you need to buy a platform, so it was rather expensive, a penny. Where I live was only 10 minutes walk from Copley's shed. There's a recreation ground nearby there, so it was quite handy to sit on the wreck and watching the trains go past and get to the numbers. There's one woman used to be there, and she was a wife of a Copley's driver, whose name escapes me. I know he only had one lung. And when he passed on the London Leeds Express, they'd wave and she'd go home and get his dinner ready. It would be in a lodging turn, I suspect.
Right. Did you have mates you went train spotting with then?
Yes, I had one or two mates who were also keen enthusiasts too. So I went off, say, to Doncaster a couple of times in 1946 with a mate, and I think twice to York. Otherwise, it mainly spent most of the time in the Copley Hill area.
So we left you at London Road Station in Manchester in your career. What happened after that?
Well, started on the railway in Leeds on the 30th of March, which was Easter Tuesday, so it was a good break in it, didn't it work Monday, and Tuesday half day anyway. So my first day was that. The salary was £120 a year.
And what officially was your job?
Called a junior clerk. That's all. Up to the age of 18, you could only be a junior clerk.
And which office did you work in?
In the A Street offices under the district goods manager. Was Reg Heaton, T. Ha Heaton was a district goods manager. Down Wellington Street, the old LNER had their district goods manager's office, so they had their own system. But this is just after nationalisation, so they hadn't got round to join them up. You had goods yards at Wellington Street, two goods yards, one street north, one street south. One was the LNER, one was the LMS. I worked at both of those. And the main parcel centre was at Leeds City Station, which was in the LMS centre. And most of the parcels vans were there.
So you're working as a clerk in that?
I was a clerk in the offices.
In the offices.
This at goods manager's office.
What did that involve? What did you do?
Apart from making coffee, morning, making tea, filing papers, mostly filing. Nothing more exotic than that as a junior clerk.
And how did you progress from there? What did you do next?
really the biggest progress, in fact, was actually going to the forces at the age of 18, really. So 2 years as a junior clerk, and then you become a proper clerk, bottom grade, that's class five in those days, in April 1950, then July 50, I then went into the forces.
And what did you do in the forces?
I was a radar mechanic, Kinross, in north of Scotland, basically on Lancasters and later Shacktons, repairing the radar equipment.
Right, so you learnt your electronics and your computer.
We learnt the electronics down at Yates Spring, Wiltshire, which is handy because then you can visit all the sheds around that area. Regional Square battery at West Kirby near Liverpool, so you can do the sheds in the Liverpool and Chester area.
Did you know anything about the electronics before you went in the,
no,
in the RAF then?
No, when you go into the Air Force, you've got to put down five trades. I want to be a clerk, like that's all I knew, so you put down clerk. But you had to put something from another category, and I put down radar mechanic. It sounded interesting, and of course, another aptitude test, and then you're in. 6 months training on the course at Yatesbury, ample time to do all the sheds round about, and up to Kinloss, and then work on the Lancasters and Shacks. So right. I also went up in a Lancaster once, and to Shackleton, so didn't have my feet on the ground all the time.
Did you go to Germany?
No, I purely spent my time in Scotland, right, okay. Which is quite good, because I could then go round the sheds at Wick, Thurso, Helmsdale, Dornoch, Calvacross, Macduff, you name it. All the sheds you could do in the weekends.
So you did your 2 years in the RAF.
RAF.
What happened next?
Came out of the Air Force on the 13th of July 1952. You get about a week's leave. Then I'm called by the railway to open this out straight away. So back in the offices at Air Street. So I had a few months in the offices there. Then they moved me out as a trainee clerk to the goods department at Kirtsall Forge. But at that time, it was only the goods department, a one-man job. The goods agent, Frank was his first name. I just forget his surname. It was on the old station, Kirtsall Forge, which closed about 1905. Probably at the time they quadrupled the track between Leeds and Shipley, the station would get closed. Adjoining it was where the ganger lived, George Dixon, who eventually got knocked down by the train and killed a few months later. But it was an unusual setup where he lived with his family, and the only way, only from the goods department and for his family, is crossing four tracks into the Kirtsall Yard premises and through their premises through the main road. There was absolutely no road access at all. So to commute from home to Kirtsall Forge, I either walked alongside the railway from Newley, alongside the up slow line, or down on the alongside the up slow line from Kirtsall the other end, either way. Come Kirtsall a bit dangerous, you had to cross the River Aire, which I did one foggy day in November, and then I got down. You stop and listen, you can't hear anything coming, you start to cross. Once at Kirtsall Forge with the goods agent crossing the four tracks to go for lunch, we were nearly knocked down by the down the Thames Clyde as it shot round the bend at high speed. That was another day miss. I was glad to get out of that. I then, end of 1952, went to the shipping office at Wellington Street North, where you're making invoices out. Then they moved us across to Wellington Street South, which is only 100 yards away, but it's in the same complex. And then I applied for a job in the control room. And so I started off in Leeds Control. That would be September 1953.
And you were in control then for quite some time?
I was in the control 1953 to 1965.
Okay. Just explain for somebody who doesn't know about it what the control office did in Leeds. What was the point of control?
On the ground, in the real life, you've got signal boxes, goods yards, stations, all your great territory in talking to another, so nobody really knew where trains were, what trains comprised of, etc. Trains were in late, nobody was aware of it, what you do with connections, so you needed a control system, which originated in Rotherham, I think 1912 or thereabouts, rather mad was the first control, because the LMS were in a bit of the middle area was a bit of a mess for the freight traffic. So with the control, you've got facilities for talking to all stations in your area, all signal options in the area, all motive power sheds in the area. So you've got firm control where traffic is. You've got they've got large boards in the control where you've got a map of the area painted on with little holes inserted into the lines where you've got to put little pegs in to know where trains were. So it's a practice of freight trains to put the pegs in to know where freight trains were. You didn't need to peg where the passing trains were. You remembered from your head where they were, and normally they ran roughly to time, where the freight trains might run 2 or 3 hours late. It essentially you knew where they were, and everybody else in the control besides you knew where they were.
So people would ring you up and you'd sit at a telephone. What kind of decisions did you have to make?
Well, in the control, you had, apart from the deputy chief controller and overall control, under him you had a controller, or was a multi-power control, he talked to the engine sheds. So he was concerned with drives and guards. If you wanted any engines, special engines or guards, you'd consult him. You had a traffic controller who talked to the big marching guards, Sturton, Homsley, Skipton, according to where you're located. And then you had the lads on the board. Now, they were relatively the young lads who had to make the snap decisions. They ones are talking all the time to the signalman, and they were in contact with the movement of trains. They were making decisions with freight trains running late and getting in the way of expresses to shunt them out of the way.
Yeah.
They're the ones making those sort of decisions. Any mishaps on the line would be reported to them. People knocked down, for example, that sort of thing.
Accidents.
All accidents reported, derailments. They were the ones who were at the front,
yeah.
And they could call upon the lads sat behind to put special trains on and so on. Or you yourself could ring the emergency services, because by then we had the 999 service. When I started in the control in 1953, our area stretched from Normanton to Aysgill, top of the bank. But in 1957, which all changed over, we became north-easternised, and we then took from Holton Colliery Sidings, south of Cudworth, through to just south of Skipton, which is part of the north-eastern region.